If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to be in Psalms number 111. 111th Psalm. I'm going to begin reading in verse 4. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his words, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Now, before we get into this psalm, I got some other things to tell you. All around us today, we're surrounded by it. You will hear about God or about who people call God. Let me put it that way. Because, however, the great majority of those around us and the vast, vast majority of those on television or radio, what you hear about is an impotent God, a powerless God, a God who is waiting for you to help him do his work. That's not the God of the Bible. You will hear of a spirit who's willing, but not willing enough to override your will. That's not the Holy Spirit of the Bible. And finally, you'll hear of a Christ who wants to save, but he's got to wait for you to make the first move. You've got to take the first step, and he'll meet you there. That's not the Christ of the Bible. No matter what anyone says, that's not him. It's not the God of the Bible, it's not the Holy Spirit of the Bible, it's not the Christ of the Bible. Now, Psalms 111, when we get to it, you'll see, is a psalm full of works. It's a psalm of works. It's also a psalm of grace. And here's the thing. Those works are not yours. They're not yours. They're not mine. They're not anybody else's. They're God's works. And it's God's grace who gives those works to us. His grace and his works are without beginning and without end. And here's the thing I want to go into first, before we get into his works. The God of the Bible is not impotent, powerless, unwilling, or anything like that. And he is not waiting on you or me or anyone else to do his work. Ever. Ever. What I want to start with, I want to give you an example here. Here's the question. Do you know how God is praised in heaven? In heaven. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it. This is Revelation 19 and verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia. Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That's the God of the Bible.
Amen. That's right.
That's the Lamb of God.
It goes on to tell us in the next verse. I'm not going to go into it. That's Jesus Christ. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And says what? Hallelujah. Yeah. You know what hallelujah translates as? Transliteration, as they say. Praise ye Yah.
Yeah.
Praise ye Yahweh. Praise the God, the Lord. The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. Why should we praise the Kyrios Theos? That's what it is, the Lord God. Because the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. He reigns. Now, omnipotent, in English, the definition is all-powerful. All-potent is what it is. All-potency. The transliteration of that means, in from the Hebrew, from the Greek, it is taken from a Hebrew word, all-ruling. And that's something. You understand, a lot of people want to talk about God. We're, like I said, we're surrounded by them. There's churches on every corner. There's three or four here within a half mile. Within a mile. There may be five or ten. How many times are they going to preach about God ruling? Omnipotently ruling. This is what it says. For the Lord God, all ruling, what? Rules. He reigns. He reigns and he rules. What? Present tense. Right now. Oh, I like that. I do. Praise him. Now, here's the thing. You want to call it an exercise in biblical logic? We can. If God has all power, if God is all ruling, how much is left for you? Absolutely none. Absolutely none. You know, so I was listening to Henry Mahan on the way up here. He said, let's not get upset with second causes. God's the first cause. And you're to take whatever God does to you with thankfulness. It may be unpleasant for you. I know things have been unpleasant for me at times. But I'm to thank God for them. And that's the truth. Why? Because the Lord God, omnipotent, reigns. He's in control. We're not. Any control we think we might have is at best illusion. We think we're in control of some things. We'd like to be in control of our children. And that ain't ever happened. At most, and at best, it is barely controlled chaos. That's what children are. I know because I was one. And I was uncontrolled chaos for the most of it. But this is the thing. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth even then. Still does now. Praise him. Why? He is the God of all power. That's my title poem. The God of all power. And there is none other. And here's the thing I want to make plain. There is no other power. No other power. He has all power. We have none. He has all power. Nobody has any. What's it say? He reigns and he rules over all. Going back up to Psalms 103, verse 19. Psalms 103, verse 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens. And, what? His kingdom ruleth over all. All. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength and that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of the word, his word. Blessed ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, what? All his works. What? In places of his dominion. Well, it's all. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The Old Testament and the New Testament agree.
agree. Just as we sang here, what was it? His kingdom is glorious. He rules over all. I like to think we mean that. I mean it. And I think you do too. But I wonder how many places can sing that song and not mean a word about it. You understand? God reigns over all. He hath prepared his throne. That's in Psalms in the Old Testament. And it's already in the past tense. He's had a throne. He has his throne. He always shall have his throne. But that was in the past tense. Our Lord has always had a throne. This is because the Lord God Almighty has always reigned. He has always reigned. You understand? There is no one outside of his rule. His kingdom's over all. And if it's a kingdom, it's got a king. And that king is our Lord Jesus Christ. He was king before he came here. He was king while he was here. And he was king when he left. And he's still king now. And his kingdom rules over all. Because he rules over all. As a matter of fact, you look at that. The Lord hath prepared his throne. That's in the past tense. And you look and see, and his kingdom rules over all. That's in the present tense. And it still is in the present tense. Right now, he rules over all. Jesus Christ told us himself that God had given him, the Father had given him power over all flesh. Over all flesh. Understand? No one has ever been outside of the rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not Lucifer. Not Satan. Read the book of Job. God gave Satan instructions and he never stepped a foot beyond them. Oh my. Well, here's the other thing. And not you. And not me. No one is outside of the reign of Jesus Christ. The rule of Jesus Christ. Not one. Matthew 28 and verse 18 says this. And Jesus came. This is after the resurrection. And Jesus came and spake unto them, his disciples, saying, All power is given, what? Unto me. Where? In heaven and in earth. Oh my. Jesus Christ said this himself. All power is given unto me. And he also told us in John 17, before he was crucified, he had power over all flesh been given to him. Oh my. Then what does he say? Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, what did Jesus say? He says, all power is given unto me. Then he says, go and teach. Go and teach. Now, you might say, teach what? And I would correct you. If they say, no, it's teach who. But when you're teaching who, you're going to teach what? But here's the thing. Teach this. Jesus Christ has all power. He has all power. We have none. That's the way it is. And that's, he told us, it's told in the scripture, when you were without strength, Christ died. Well, for the ungodly.
Amen.
For the ungodly. So not only do we not have any power, we're ungodly and without power. But praise God, we have a Lord and Savior who saves his people from their sins. Oh, teach this. Jesus Christ has all power. Preach this. Proclaim this. And praise him. Praise him. Just like he's praised in heaven. Because Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. And Jesus Christ is the God of all power. Period.
Period. Yes. Period. He has power over all flesh and all power in heaven and earth. That's a lot of power. No, it's not. It's all power. Yeah. It's all power. You understand? You understand? There's no power left over for you, me, or anybody else. What about kings? What about presidents? Senators? Congressmen? What about Vladimir Putin? We're going to make this timely. Here's the thing. The king's heart is in the Lord's hands. He turns it whithersoever he will. And that goes for presidents and Vladimir Putin included and everybody else. You know, ask Pharaoh about where his heart was. Oh, he hardened his heart, and his heart was hardened for it. And it was turned whithersoever the Lord will. He was going to let the Israelis go a couple of times, the Israelites. He was going to let them go. Then what happened? His heart got hardened and he didn't. Oh my. You think God was ignorant? He sent Moses there. Oh. Christ's kingdom rules over all, and Christ the King rules over all. He is the God of all power. Now, let's get back to Psalms 111. And look at the works of the God of all power. I'm just going to go through these kind of quickly here. Verse 2. I love this. Well, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. I'll praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Verse 2. The works of the Lord are great. Great. And here's the thing. Sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. You understand? The works of the Lord are great. But not many people seek them out. Not many people want to know the God of all power. They don't want to know the God of the Bible. They don't want to know the Christ of the Bible. They don't want to know the Holy Spirit of the Bible. You don't understand why? I'll tell you exactly why, because I know why. I've heard them talk. And they leak out on them. They want a God that's dependent upon them. They want a Christ that's either still a baby in a creche, in a manger, or one that has got to wait on them. And they want a Holy Spirit that'll make them feel bubbly, wonderfully good, but not teach them a thing about Christ or God. And what did Jesus Christ say about the Holy Spirit? He's going to take those things of mine and show them to you. What is it? They are sought out of all them that have pleasure in them, therein. Oh, I like that. What? Praise ye the Lord. Do you like to hear about the God of all power? Does that give you joy? Does that give you a peace? You understand? You know, I can't affect anything much in my life, period. I am I'm a victim of circumstance. I have no control. I have no illusions of control most days. Some days I think I do, but it's all right. I can delude myself just like anybody else. It's just the way we are. But here's the thing. Oh, it does me good to understand that I know He has shown me that His works are great. His works are great. What is it? Verse 3. His work is honorable and glorious. His work, the Lord God's work, the Lord God omnipotent who reigns work, is worthy of all honor. Oh my. It is worthy of all glory.
Because here's the thing. All of his works are great. And all of his works, they're holy. They're just. Full of justice. They're merciful. The God of all power can be merciful when his justice has been fulfilled. And not before. Not before. God's justice must be answered. Sin has got to be punished. And it was in his Son for his people. Oh, his works are honorable and glorious. Oh, I like that. I do. Honorable and glorious. Was it here? And his righteousness endureth forever. Oh, when his justice is satisfied and his mercy and his grace comes to you, his righteousness is given. And his righteousness endures forever. There is no end to the righteousness of God which is in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, and then, see, it's his righteousness, Christ's righteousness, that is the righteousness imparted and the righteousness imputed to every one of his children. Oh, I like that. Worthy of all glory, worthy of all honor. His righteousness never changes. His works never change. Understand? Why in the world would you want to change perfection? Well, there's people who do. There's people who want Christ to be adaptable. They want him to be available. They don't want him to be Lord. They don't want him to be omnipotent. And they don't want him to reign. But you understand, we are so depraved. We are so rotten in and of ourselves. We don't have the first inkling of true perfection. Amen. We don't know what it is. I do know this much. By his word, don't mess with it. Yeah. Don't even try to mess with Christ's work. Don't mess with any of God's works. They're great. They're honorable. They're glorious. His righteousness endures forever. Leave it alone and believe it. Believe him. But people want to change things. Oh, no. No. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. And I change not. Because perfection doesn't need to change. His righteousness endures forever. There's no end to it. And his righteousness, here's the thing we do need to remember, is the only righteousness that matters. Is his righteousness. The righteousness of Christ. All our righteousnesses are what? Filthy rags. That's it, Mac. Filthy rags. And we don't need to put them on and try and parade around in front of anybody. Much less God. His righteousness is the only righteousness that matters. What verse 4 says. And I like this too. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. To be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. I like that. You understand, we are told that, we are forgetting the things that are past. We are told that, right? But we're also told this. Remember the pit from which you dig. You understand? There's a balance here. Okay? I do love what Walter said about this one time. He said, remember the pit from which you're digged. Don't go back and get as close to the edge and look down in there and see what it was like. No, remember it and stay away from it. You understand? It's supposed to be a lesson. You remember where you came from. Don't go back. Because there were those who heard our Lord Jesus Christ preach in person. And when they heard him preach, what? The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The God of all power. Without him, you can't come to me. No man comes to me except it be given him of my Father. Oh my, what's that?
That's the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That's the God of all power, saving whom he will. That's the one who has power over all flesh. What? To give to as many as God gave him eternal life. That's what he does with the power over all flesh. Oh, and his works, well, are to be remembered. Remember that. Remember the pit from which you dig. Remember the dunghill from which you've been lifted. Don't go back, but remember it. But here's the other thing. Also remember that table he set you at now. You understand? That table, he said, I'm going to lift the beggar off the dunghill and lift the poor out of the dust. What? To sit with princes. And that's to sit down and eat. Now, he's not going to leave you dressed like a beggar. He's going to put his robe of righteousness upon you. And you're going to sit down with princes. What does it say one day? We're going to sit down in the kingdom with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob.
Amen. That's right.
And you know what? We will feast at his table. Right now, we're feasting at his table. He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. What? All these people we're surrounded by. All these people in your family that won't have the Lord God omnipotent to reign. They don't want him. They don't like him. Oh my. What's it say? Remember who is responsible for your eating his food now. The one who maketh you to lie down by the still waters. The one who leads you into green pasture. Oh, the one who restores your soul. Remember. The God of all power is the God of all grace. And the gracious God loves his people. Loves his people. What's it say? The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Verse 4. Verse 5. He has given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. Yeah. It's his covenant. That's step one, okay? You can't go no farther than this. Don't go anywhere else, because if you don't get this, you're not going to get anything else. It's his covenant. It's a covenant made between the Father and the Son and the Spirit. These three are one. These three agree in one. These three are one. The God of all power. He's ever mindful of his covenant. And what's it say? When does the Father not think of the work of his beloved Son in the covenant of grace? Come on. He's mindful of his covenant. You understand? It's up here, in his head. He's our head. But in his head, he's mindful of his covenant. He knows exactly what that covenant was purposed to do. And he is purposely going about and fulfilling that covenant in his people.
Amen.
Oh, my. I like that. He's ever mindful of his covenant. Verse 6. He hath showed his people the power of his works. Well, that's pretty good. That he may give them the heritage of the heathen. He has showed his people the power of his works. Understand this. He has never shown the world the power of his works. You know why? They won't have them. They won't understand them. And here's the thing. The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
What? They're foolishness to them. It's not that they can't comprehend them. It's not that you can't explain them. It's not that you can't read it to them. They're foolishness. They think you're a fool for believing this.
And that's the way people are. And I have to confess, I was that way. I used to think people who believed in Jesus were idiots. Now, granted, maybe some of them were. I don't know. You know, because there's a lot of people go around naming the name, but they don't name the character. You understand? There's a lot of them going around, like I said, this just when we started, you know, they've got a Christ who wants to save but can't. They got a God who has some power sometimes in some situations. No. This is the God of all power. And His works stand forever. Every single one of His works. Oh my. But He has showed His people the power of His works. I like that. That He may give them the heritage of the heathen. He's going to give us this world. We are vastly outnumbered at the present moment. I have no doubt of that. Because there's always been few there be that find it. That straight gate and that narrow way. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way. And what? Few there be that find it. But one day, we're going to have all of this world in our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I like that. There's going to be a heaven and an earth wherein dwells righteousness. Amen. What a, His righteousness. His righteousness. Oh, I like that too. What? Verse 7, the works of His hands are verity and judgment, truth and judgment. All His commandments are sure. His works, are truth and judgment. You understand? I don't know if I can say this. God has no deceptive works. You understand? People believe the lie. But there's a father of lies that came out that tempted Eve in the garden and would tempt us. He's blinded the minds of those who have not been given life. Amen. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to the lost. All of God's work are truth and judgment. God cannot tell a lie. Man can. And man does. Matter of fact, let God be true and every man a liar. And that includes you and me. Oh, my. They stand, verse 8, they stand fast, what? Forever and ever. And are done in truth and uprightness. Oh, I like that. You know, it's not that the works of God stand. No. They stand fast. There's not a possibility of them moving. There's not a possibility of any of God's work being overturned, undermined, or changed. The good, Mason. Changed or dodged. There's lots of people who think they can dodge God. Well, lots of people are idiots. That's all I got to say about that. You understand? His works stand forever. Stand fast. His works are as permanent as He is.
Amen. That's right.
You understand? God didn't make any mistakes. God didn't send Christ to make up for our messing up in the Old Testament. That's what some people think. They get this weird, they don't read the book. And they don't understand the book. His works, His judgment stands fast forever. Oh my. And here's the thing. The reason they stand fast is because there's no need to change them. They're as perfect and as holy and as just and as good as God Himself, the God of all power. All of His works are done, what? In truth and uprightness. What do you need to change about that? Now here, verse 9. He sent redemption unto his people. And people get mad when you talk about particular redemption. This is the Old Testament. This is a song. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded, what? His covenant. He covenanted redemption. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Just a couple of facts, stuff about redemption. Redemption is a work of God. It's not a work of man and God. Man's got nothing to do with it. The actual redemption, man has nothing to do with it. And that redemption is done in truth and uprightness, in verity and in judgment and in justice. Redemption is the work of Christ Jesus, the God of all power. And here's the thing. This is a plenteous redemption, an eternal redemption, and it is sent to his people. Oh, I like that. Here's a question for you. If God sends you something, do you think you're going to get it? Come on. Do you think you're going to miss? Do you think God's going to miss? If he sends you something, you're going to have it.
Amen.
And he has sent redemption to his people. To what? Every single individual child of God has been redeemed by our Lord Jesus Christ. You understand, there's a type of this in the Old Testament when God sent Moses into Egypt to redeem the people out. And they moved out lock, stock, and barrel. Every single one of them got out. Now, that was a type. In reality, the Lord sent Jesus Christ to redeem his people. What? From sin, from Satan, and from the law. And he did. He did. He did. Christ has redeemed us. Once. Once. For all. But once. Oh. And you understand, redemption is his gracious, glorious, honorable work. It's the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all power. He's commanded his covenant forever. David called it an everlasting covenant. What? Ordered and sure. Ordered in all things. All things and sure. It's an everlasting covenant. Why? He gives unto his people everlasting covenant. Life.
Amen.
Oh, I like that. It's ordered in all things and sure because God is mindful of his covenant. He's mindful of his covenant. It is forever, everlasting. Holy and reverend is his name. Now, one more thing about God's works I want to tell you about. The God of all powers works. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning. From the beginning. Now, where is that? Where else will you hear that preached or taught or believed? Known unto God are all his works. They're honorable, they're glorious. His righteousness forever, they're wonderful works. They are what? Verity and judgment, truth and judgment. His commandments are sure. They're done in truth and uprightness. All of his works are known unto God from the beginning. Understand? No one has ever surprised God by anything.
Because the God of the Bible is the God of all power. This is true whether you know it or not, and it's true whether you like it or not. He is. Jesus Christ does not need our approval of His mighty power. He doesn't need our permission. The God of all power rules over all. He rules over you. He rules over me, and He rules over all. His works are the only works that matter. You know, I preached that last week. About, what is it? Let me look. So I don't say it wrong. Let's see. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I said it. Not God and not Christ. Who is he that condemneth? Well, it's not God and it's not Christ. Because God that justified, and it's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. And he's ever at the right hand of God and makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Not God and not Christ. You understand? And here's the point. Nobody else matters. Not a person matters other than God and Christ. Why? Because he is the God of all power. And if he doesn't condemn you, you're not condemned. There's a verse here, John Newton wrote this, and I thought about this. Where is it? By him my prayers acceptance gain, although with sin defiled. Satan accuses me in vain, and I am owned a child. Oh, I like that. Understand, if the God of all power doesn't condemn you, you're not condemned. And if the God of all power is accepting you in the Beloved, in Jesus Christ, you're accepted. You're accepted. No one else matters. Not one person. Now, all that about God's work, I'll throw you in something about your work. God will work in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure.
Amen.
That's it. You understand? Any works you do that are of any value, there, it's His work that you did them. I can't take credit for good stuff, Mason. I can't take any credit at all. I don't deserve any credit. Because I can tell you this right now, it wasn't my idea to stand here. It wasn't. I got put here. I was sent here. And I'm here. By His grace, by His power. And you're here. By His grace and by His power. And the God of all power takes care of His people. He's ever mindful of the covenant He made with His Son concerning us. Concerning us. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time, this place, and these people. But thankful most of all for You, Lord. You sent Your Son and have given us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places and on earth in Christ Jesus. He has given His life for His sheep. He is resurrected and ever liveth to make intercession for those same sheep. Help us, Lord, to recognize Your pasture, Your work, Your will, in Your way, as we go on in this world. Keep us. Keep us, Lord. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.